Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been going through the book of Acts, and we'll be there for a little while. We may finish up chapter 4 today. We got started in it maybe a week ago, huh? Or 2 weeks ago. And we're talking about actually the boldness. If you remember, Peter and John had gone to the temple. The guy was there lame. They healed him, went on into where the crowd was, and it caused quite a stir. So the religious leaders put him in jail that night. And what we're picking up today is when they interrogate him the next day and what they tell them because of the upset that they cause. So we're really just looking at boldness and how that applies to us as it did Peter and John. There was a pastor years and years ago who was very, very timid, never did a lot of confrontational stuff that he should have done, and he died, and as he stood entering into heaven, and again, this is not theologically correct, okay? We don't know how exactly that's going to work, but we always try to draw a picture as, you know, somebody's going to welcome you there, and it's always Peter, but I'm not going to say Peter. I'm just saying an angel welcomes the man and says, you know, you're here and here are the instructions. You can go anywhere, but you can't go on the pent clouds, okay? Heaven's not going to be us riding around on clouds, all right? I know that, all right? But you see the picture, right? You can go anywhere, you can get on any cloud but the pent clouds. And the man said, well, why can't I get on a pent cloud? Well, that's for the people who have done exceptional things for God. They're the only ones who get on the pent clouds. He said, well, I've done some exceptional things. And starts to explain. He said, you know, for 15 years I preached, and every Sunday this motorcycle gang would always gather up across from our church and disrupt the whole service. And I never had enough guts to do anything about it. But finally, in the middle of the service one day when they started, I walked out there and pushed down every one of their motorcycles. And the angel started looking through his files. He said, well, I don't see anything about that. How long ago did that happen? The guy said, what time is it? He said, about 2 minutes ago. That's when that happened. When you be bold, it'll cost you. It means you got killed, for those of you that are pretty slow. That's what it means. He died right that second, all right? Whenever you're bold, it's going to cost you. That's why we're not. We don't want everybody to like us. We don't want anybody to think bad of us, so we don't. We don't know what it is to be bold, basically, in Christendom, but that's exactly what we're going to see. Remember, they arrested him, held him overnight, and then here's the picture. You have all these muckety-mucks, these top-water people, you know, the PhDs, the religious controllers of the time. It would be like taking someone who has no education whatsoever, just a backwoods farmer, setting him down in the middle and putting the president and the secretary of state and all these highfalutin people around him, and they start interrogating him. That's what they have. That's what you have. So that's what the situation is. And when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man that was healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. They couldn't deny it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done through them. You can't deny that. Something's happened. It is manifest. Everybody knows. All through Jerusalem. They know about it. So we can't deny it. But that it is spread no further among the people. We got to make sure that they don't keep talking about this. So let's threaten them that they can't talk about Jesus anymore. You threaten them that you can go now, but you can't talk about Jesus anymore. And they called him and they charged him not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken to you rather than to God, you can judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. And they, when they had further threatened them, let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. So that's what happens. They're confronted. They're challenged. They said, you can't do this anymore. And they let them go. Here's what we're going to look at and what we're going to see. Peter, turns out, they were the prosecuting attorney that was jumping on John and Peter, and everything changes, and Peter becomes a prosecuting attorney. Because what he does, he makes the people look at the situation and say, wait a minute, you're not even on God's side. So what do you want me to do? You want me to do what you say? Because it's apparent you're not on God's side. Or you want me to do what God says? We're going to do what God says. You can do whatever you want to do. We do that every day. In this woke community that we're living in now, I say community all over the United States especially, no one has a right to tell anybody else what they're doing is wrong. And even in Christendom, it's always been a problem. If, you know, if somebody's tire's about to run off and you care enough about them that you go to them and say, wait a minute, you got three lugs missing. You better watch out what you're doing. You're fitting to be in trouble. Oh, no, you're judging me. And the Bible says in Matthew, judge not that thou shalt not be judged. That ain't what that means. You studied the context. It ain't even close to what that means. It means if you love somebody enough, you go to them and say, you know, listen, you're about to get in trouble here. And because I love you, I want to talk to you about it. But we think now if someone confronts somebody else and says, you know, what you're doing is wrong, you don't have the right to do that. Yes, we do. Matter of fact, it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to hold one another accountable. So that's exactly what Peter does. He shows us exactly where we are today. Every one of us has to constantly make a decision. Are we going to do what God says? Or are we going to end up doing really what everybody else thinks okay because we don't want to be bold enough to live differently because somebody might make fun of us? Hugh Latimer, he died in the 1500s. He was a preacher. He was burned at the stake, actually, because he believed the Scripture. But before he died, he was a court preacher, and he was preaching in front of Henry VIII on one occasion. And go back, if you look up the true history on Latimer and Wrigley and see what they go through and how they are burned alive at the stake and see how they are bold in it. Well, he preaches, and boy, he shucks the corn on down, and he offends the king seriously. So the king sends a message to him and says, Latimer, you're going to go back to church next Sunday and you're going to apologize for offending me. He said, okay, I'll do that. And this is what he gets up and reads the next Sunday. And the king's back in the church and he's about to preach. This is what he says. Hugh Latimer, and I'm quoting it from the King James English, all right, the thous, you know how that goes, all right? We can't hardly read that anymore ourselves. Hugh Latimer, he says, and now the king's sitting out there. He's in front of all the people, and this is what he says. Hugh Latimer, don't you know before whom you are to speak today? To the high and mighty monarch? The king's most excellent majesty? Who can take away your life if you offend him? Therefore, take heed that you speak not a word that may displease. But then consider well, Hugh, do you not know from where you come, whose message that you are sent to proclaim? Even by the great and mighty God, who is all present and who beholds all thy ways and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. Therefore, take care that you delivered the message faithfully. And he preached the same sermon that he preached the Sunday before, but it was even worse, harder on the king than the first one was. He said, you going to tell me what to preach? You can kill me. And they did. They burned him alive. How about that one? And his partner Ridley told him, you know, stay with it. You know, play the man. Be the man. And he lifts his finger up in the fire as they're burning him alive because he wouldn't bow down. He says, you know, Christ is the only way to heaven. That's what the Reformation was about. That's what boldness is, you know. We don't know what that is in America. We're too afraid to even say that the president's a moron. We're too scared to do anything, right? He is a moron. You know, you say, well, you shouldn't say that. It's the truth, right? That's what we're talking about today, truth. You know, that's why let me keep going, all right? If I already lost you, I apologize. I shouldn't do that. But if the saying, right? If the shoe fits, what? You just got to wear it. If somebody calls you out and you know it's the truth, you got to deal with it. That's what Peter did. He called these guys out. Let's go ahead. Peter and John, the kind of people who stand up against the authority. The authority might be the principal. It might be the president. It might be the governor. I don't know. It might be your boss. I don't know who your authority is. It can be all kinds of people. But someone, when they're doing something that's absolutely wrong, someone needs to call their hand. But we're usually afraid. Number one, because, well, they might fire me. So nobody does it. So you live in this situation that's horrible. So they're the kind of people, Peter and John, who call them out, who deal with the authority. Number two, the leader's response. The way people often respond when the evidence of truth mounts against them, they don't want to believe the truth. You know, it's true. What did they say? Oh, absolutely. Jesus' name healed this man. Well, we can't deny that. So, but y'all don't talk about Jesus anymore. Wow. How about that one? How the disciples respond publicly to the unbelieving religious leaders who have the authority to harm them. Absolutely. The rulers and elders and scribes were astounded by Peter and John. They're just dumb fishermen to them. They haven't been to rabbinic school. They haven't been to seminary. They don't have been to university. They're not educated whatsoever. Same thing we'll see. They played out with Jesus. It says they wondered. They marveled. It blew their mind. Here these uneducated guys is putting us on the stand. They just flipped it on them. They're trying to prosecute Peter, and Peter turns out prosecuting them when he does what he does. They saw these two things, and they said, wait a minute. How is these uneducated guys able to say and do what they're doing and have this boldness? We don't understand this. And then they'll say in just a moment, we read it already, they must have been with Jesus. Remember how they said that same thing about Jesus? How is it? Jesus is not a rabbi. He's never been to rabbinic school. How can he talk with such authority? How does this happen? They saw the real explanation. What didn't fit together were Peter and Paul, John's public boldness, yet they were not educated in it. You know, most of the guys there, if they went to a certain Torah school young, but if you're going to be a rabbi, you had to go through a lot of stuff. You know, like there's a lot of denominations today. Unless the pastor has such and such amount of education, they won't let him preach for them. You know, Baptists have always been where if they felt like somebody was called to preach, there was no demands on them to go to school. Even though the individual churches usually have something, they'll say, oh, no. You know, certain level of churches, they say, about, oh, you got to have this degree and this degree and this degree, or we wouldn't even consider you. But by and large, the denomination isn't that way. But most denominations are, where they'd say, oh, yeah, you at least have to have a master's level theology education, or we won't let you pastor our churches. That's just the way it goes. They expected these guys to know this much, they ought to have some kind of education, and they didn't, and it blew their mind. They were speaking with straightforwardness and confidence and courage, and they were clear. The guys understood that Peter was calling their hand. You know how that goes sometimes, right? How somebody says, well, Terry, do you think this is wrong? Well, you know, it might be. No, it is wrong. Remember, that's clarity, right? When it says, thou shalt not steal, that means thou shalt not steal. Period. Clarity, that's all that means. You know, there's no ambiguity about it whatsoever. You don't try to water it down. You know, I remember a few years ago, they're not in the service today. They come to church here, but a person in certain life situations came up and asked me, you know, everybody's telling me it's all right if I'm involved in this kind of stuff. I said, absolutely not. That's sin, period. He didn't come back for a while. I said, okay. That's fine. You ask me what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not. That's the way that works. That's clear. You don't have to worry about it. And they were doing it in the presence of people with all these muckety-mucks. You know what those are, right? These officials who claim they know everything and they don't know how to get out of rain. You know some of those? The scribes simply stunned because the scribes, you know, they copied the Bible, so if anybody knew what it said, they knew. I mean, they were up there with them. And these guys, Peter and John, just blew their mind. We don't understand this whatsoever. What made the boldness so incredible was that Peter and John had no education, no theological training, other than they might have gotten when they learned as a child, studying the few years that they would study as a boy. They didn't have the refinement skill that comes from any kind of course in rhetoric to tell you how to preach or try to teach you how to preach. Wow, it's amazing. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, these bunch of dummies, how in the world do they know this? Isn't that the way that goes sometimes? You'd be surprised what you can learn from a dumb person. Especially if they've been with Jesus. That's the key to the thing. Then they remember this about Jesus, whom they tried to get rid of, was just like that. And what it says, the Jews marveled at Jesus. They were amazed. Why? Of the teaching of Jesus. How is it that this man has all this learning and has never been educated? Wow. You know, you can educate yourself beyond your intelligence. You know that, right? There's plenty of people that have all kind of degrees, and literally, they don't know how to get out of rain. I'm serious. Theological world is covered up. It looks like it's easy. They don't really have to work or do anything, and a lot of them don't work or do anything. And so they just kind of go into it because a lot of them try a lot of other things and they can't do anything else. So they just kind of fall over into this one and think it's okay. And that's why there's so many churches that are in horrible shape, because that's who they have trying to lead them. That's exactly right. And he's never studied. It was just the same with Jesus as with Peter and John. They were all bold, straightforward, and clear. They had the inside of it. All you need is God's word. We're going to talk about why education is not the end. You don't have to have education to be bold. That's not what that's required. It doesn't require that. They thought there had never been any kind of rabbinic education. They recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Boy, isn't that a big deal. When's the last time you ever heard anybody say, she's been with Jesus? He's been with Jesus. What does that mean? Evidently, they remembered what Jesus was like, these Jewish leaders, and they saw Peter and John, some kind of reflection, something that reminded them that this is the way Jesus acted. So they said, they've been with Jesus. When's the last time anybody accused you of being with Jesus? Oh, she acts like Jesus. She talks like Jesus. He acts like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. When's the last time? You know, I must confess, until after the first service this morning, I never heard that before. Anybody ever say that about me? And then someone came up to me and said their grandmother, before she passed away, heard us a few times and said, you know, Terry's been with Jesus. That's the first time I've ever heard it in my life. Why? I don't know. I don't know if she's already past her mental abilities to discern. I don't know that. You know, she's pretty old when that happened. I don't know. But you see that what he's saying? They recognized something about these guys that reminded them about Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Hello? Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's the way it was. They must have gotten it from him. How do you know how to treat your spouse? From Jesus. How do you know how to treat your children? From Jesus. How do you know how to treat your mom and daddy? From Jesus. You don't get it from Google. How do you know how to run your business? From Jesus. You know how you treat your employers, your employee? From Jesus. That's exactly what it is. The ruler's response, what are we going to do with these guys? What are we going to do with these guys? A notable sign is, oh, we can't deny it, man. A miracle's been done, and everybody in Jerusalem knows this. What are we going to do? In order that they may spread no more, we got to do something about this. Here's something really amazing and very common in the world. How you would describe this connection? They see a great undeniable sign of love and power. All Jerusalem knows it, but they said, we can't let this go on. How are we going to stop it? They're in control. Had they been on God's side, they'd have known the Messiah was able to do these things, so they're not even in tune with that, number one. Verse 16 states, reasons to seriously consider the truth of what Peter and John say. What is it? It describes the behavior of a people who are not interested in the truth. How many people really want the truth? If I write a book that shows you what a low-rate scumbag you were born to be, and then I write another book, you think you're going to go buy it? Oh, no. But if I write one and say, oh, you are just great, Terry. God has so much in mind for you, and he wants to give you a pink Cadillac, and he wants to do all these things. You think you're going to go buy the next one that I make you feel good about yourself? Yeah, absolutely. That's the way that works. People are not really interested in the truth. By and large, they're not. Look at where we are in our country right now. Is anybody really interested in the truth? No. But only in the benefit that they get from falsehood. They get to stay in charge. If Jesus takes better position than they do, then they lose out. Nobody looks at them anymore. You see what a threat it was? It's like saying, there's smoke billowing out of the stairway from the basement, but just slam the door and let's go ahead and eat dinner. We're going to all die and burn up in a few minutes, but who cares about that? Let's go ahead and eat dinner, right? How about this one? People are dying from COVID left and right, and there is a cheap, good treatment that can help people, but let's ban it so nobody can get their hands on it. Isn't that where we are? Same thing. Same thing Peter and John was dealing with, we deal with every day of our life. There's always something like that. We got to come to the point where we say, what does God say about this? What does everybody else think? If I go with God, oh boy, I'm going to be shunned. I'm going to be ostracized. Am I going to be bold enough? Being bold is not being arrogant. That's not the same thing, all right? They were not being arrogant. They just said, this is the truth. When people are getting some benefit from a wrong, they turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to the mounting evidence that should be changing them. They don't want to see it. Peter and John's response to the threat. Look at this. Whether it is right in the sight of God, look at this now, to listen to you, in your opinion, or God. So he's separating these guys and said, you don't think like God thinks. Wow. Is that an indictment? When somebody comes to you, especially some religious leader, and they say, and you say, wait a minute, the scripture does not say that. You think they like that? Well, who do you think you are telling me? Can I confess a dream I had this morning? I have no idea what it means, okay? I'm not the whisperer. I woke up about 2:30. I said, I'm going to lay here for a little while. I don't want to get up just yet. And that always happens. If I haven't dozed off, I dreamed horrible. Then I wake up in about 5 minutes, and then I dream a whole nother set. So I just get up usually, all right? And I don't remember the context, but somebody was challenging me on something, and I'm not that kind of person, but I remember in my dream, I said, you do know I have a doctorate, right? This guy was insulting me to the max on a common small something. I don't even have an idea what it was, but that's what it is. You know, somebody who thinks they know everything, and you challenge them on it because the Bible clearly says they're wrong, they don't like it. They didn't like it. Nobody likes it. Who wants to hear that we're wrong? Rather, to God, you must judge. You can decide for yourself. But us, we already decided. We're going with God. We can't help but talk about Jesus. There must have been some kind of bad response from the rulers when that happened, right? It assumes something that the rulers refuse to assume. Peter assumes that he has to choose between listening to what God says, that is the right thing, and listening to what the rulers say, which is the wrong thing. Who do you listen to? You listen to all your friends? You don't ever talk about what Jesus says about something. You know, now, and Meredith even sees it even a lot, even just in her volleyball situation and these homeschoolers. Somebody starts talking about something, and she'll say, that ain't what the Bible says. And they get offended right away. Why? Because she tells them the truth. This is what the scripture says. Oh, well, who are you to tell me? I'm just telling you what the truth is. How you act on it, that's going to be you. But the Bible says this. That's what John and Peter said. You know, this is the issue. It assumes that the rulers are not speaking what God said. And you know this. There is a world of preachers who do not say what God says. They don't. It costs. And it will continue to cost even more. He doesn't express an apology. He just says it. This is it. That guy asked me today, he said, is that a sin? I said, absolutely, that's a sin. We don't need to talk about that anymore. And I think it offended him. He finally came around. He didn't come for a long time. But I just said, that's what the Bible says. Boom. That's it. When it says, thou shalt not, what does that mean? Thou shalt not. It doesn't give an exception. Well, in this case, in this case, in this case, you're sin, it says, thou shalt not. No, there ever. The issue is whether we listen to you or to God. Now, you can judge for yourself, religious leaders. Go ahead and tell us, God or you? We already made up our mind. We're going to go with God. It's a question that they could not answer without admitting that they were not on God's side. There's where the kicker is. Peter made it clear, you're not on God's side. And for them to answer that question, they have to decide, are we going to go with God or are we going to go with us? Isn't that what we have to do? About every day, how we respond to somebody, what choice we make, where we go, who we date, who we marry, everything. What did God say about that? Should I go with God or should I go with everybody else, especially if it's going to cause somebody to be mad with me? The basis for Peter's response is the assurance that Peter knows that Jesus is the alive. And if Jesus is alive and his word is truth, nothing else matters. What if we live like that? What if we base our life on God's word is this absolute, we're going to go with it regardless of what it costs us. Nothing else matters. Boy, what would that do? That he healed the man and that obeying him comes from obeying him first over obeying any ruler. And we have to do that constantly, you know, in every aspect, whatever your authority is in your life. It might be the policeman, it might be the sheriff, it might be the principal, your boss, your mom and dad, whoever it is, somebody. That's the way it is. They know because they have seen and heard. They've been with Jesus. You know, when we have experienced Jesus in our life and understand his word is true, we can have the boldness to say, nope, that ain't right. Love you, sorry, you can make a choice, but that ain't right. And I won't tell you it's right. I remember when some of this nonsense started, oh, what year is this, 21? I guess it started in 20 a little bit. Everyone on our homeschool volleyball team, they have to be homeschooled, but they're not all saved. Okay, don't ever think that everybody's saved. All right? And this whole gender thing issue came up, and one of the girls was talking about it. And Mary said, oh, no, the Bible says clearly that ain't the way that is. And they're kind of like, well, who? I said, well, that's what the Bible says. And they respected her opinion, but they didn't agree with her. Because they bought in all this nonsense. But she clearly said, oh, no, the Bible says this, 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 and this. This is what that is. She wasn't ugly. And they learned to respect her. And I think maybe finally that person's come around. Why? She bought all this nonsense that you get from Google and all this crazy stuff on TikTok and all those ungodly things out there like that. You need to monitor that stuff on your kids' phones. I hope you know that. Lord, they pick up so much trash on there. And they follow it. And it's a lie. That's the worst part. So they do not suggest that maybe the rulers speak a little bit for God. Oh, no, not even a question. Said, no, the rulers are anti-God. They have to go with Jesus. Wow. These boys were tough, you know it? You know, I've said it too many times. The betrayal on the chosen for Peter is so far out from what is truly right. There ain't no way Peter was a little guy like they portray him on the chosen. Remember what it did with that net of fish? Anybody remember? That big net of fish, he put them in by himself. That little Peter couldn't do that. I've drug a seine before. Y'all know what a seine is? No, sir. No, sir. Not even close. Peter was, what happened? He could cuss like a sailor and cut you. Remember what he did to the guy in the garden? Cut off his ear? We're talking about rough boys. Not educated boys. He said, oh, no, we're not going with y'all. We're going with this. You can decide what you want to do. This is what we're going to do. The apostles are in touch with the living God because they know Jesus. There's a lot of people who go to church. They don't know Jesus. They don't know a thing about Jesus. They don't know what he's about. Oh, they might go and they might read a verse and they might even memorize it, but they never kind of integrated in their life to see really this, how this translates, that this is what I have to do. I have to live differently. To be with Jesus and reflect that Jesus in our life means we live differently. That's what that means. We're not going to finish this, so we have to hurry, all right? I'll put all the rest of it on the internet, and you can read the outline. Anyway, lessons for every believer. Be bold and clear. You know, Adrian Rogers, he was a great preacher. They still play him on the radio. He was pastor at Bellevue in Memphis for a long, long time before he died. And I heard him say one time that some ladies had heard him preach at a revival, and they came to him and said, oh, Brother Rogers, we're just so grateful that you explain it where we can understand it. He said, but you know, our preachers, oh, he's such a great theologian, and he's so smart, but there's no way we can understand him. You know what he said? Just because a river is muddy doesn't mean it's deep. The smartest people shouldn't make it the clearest. That's always the way it is. The smartest people should be more able to make it clearer than than the people who have no education. That's the way it goes. In order to be bold, forthright, and clear, you say what Christ in public, what he says. You don't need to be formally educated or unusually skilled. What you need is a real fellowship with Jesus and an experience with Jesus. That's it. Education is not a factor. You say, well, I haven't been to seminary. Thank the Lord you're not in one right now. Do you know how crazy that's gotten? I don't really know many schools that I would refer anybody to right at this moment, because they're all going into this woke craziness. You'll be better off to study on your own, maybe get somebody who is conservative to help you with some stuff. I'd say just stay away from it for a little while and see if it turns around, because it's just as bad as the university system. The university system is, if you don't know, it's gone. It's gone as far as teaching the right truth of what a history is. You do know that, right? If you don't think so, listen to Jordan Peterson and let him explain it to you, where it's gone, because he's a teacher in the university all his life. One thing you must remember as one who has followed the educational, me. Only reason I kept going, do you know how bad I hated school? You don't even know. You don't know how bad I hated school. When I got out of school, I said, thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't go back to school for anything. 10 years later, God pressed upon me, and this was the only reason. Because when you stand before people, you better know all you can what you're going to say, because I'm going to hold you accountable for everything you say. That is the only reason. I still didn't like school. Still don't like it now. If you want to go, go. You can get some good out of it. But I think Elon Musk is okay. You don't have to have one of those educations to do anything. What did he go, one semester? He didn't even go a year, did he? Why? He saw it was a waste of his time. According to what you're going to do. You don't have to have that. And I read educated people that are 1,000 times smarter than I am, but you know, half of them can't even get out of the rain. They ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain when it's raining. And it doesn't make anyone bold. You don't have to have an education to be bold and tell people the truth about Jesus. It's not a factor. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever, so you can't use that for an excuse. There is nothing in advanced education that makes a person bold or courageous. You don't get it from there. You just get it from being with Jesus and understand that his word is the absolute truth. Some of our brightest young people should be scholars for Jesus that translate and work on stuff that the rest of us can't figure out. They ought to do that if that's God's given them that ability. But it doesn't make them courageous. It doesn't make them any bolder than anyone else. It doesn't. Get that idea out of your head. That's nothing to do with that. A path to boldness. What makes a person bold for the truth is being sure that they know God's word is absolute truth. Period. You got to start there. Once you get there, you'll have a chance to be bold. If you're always questioning whether God's true, and that's what people say. Oh, well, it's not true. You got to get past that. Either it is or it's not. You got to decide that. Nobody can prove other than what Jesus said himself and what we know through history. Jesus said what? Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. It's going to stare you in the face one day at the judgment, and this same word that people say we don't believe is true is going to be your judge. So you got to decide that. You know that same Adrian Rogers, that's what he said. Billy Graham did the same thing. When everybody was coming around questioning the Bible, he said he went out there one day and he dug a hole in the ground and put his nose in it so he could be flat on the ground. He said, God, I need to settle this right now. Everybody's saying that your word is true. I want you to just confirm to me what I believe is true, and I'm going to go with it. And that's what both of them did. When everybody else around them was questioning already the scripture. Oh, it's not true. You can't believe that. Oh, gender is a social construct. The Bible doesn't tell us who's a male and who's female. See where we are? Same thing. Nothing's changed. What makes a person clear and forthright is a good heart that has no desire to slip anything under. Well, I'm going to ask you, Brother Terry, what do you think about this? And because I don't want to hurt your feelings or make you mad, I say, well, you know, maybe. No, that's a sin. That's the way it's supposed to be. Right? But we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's not being arrogant. Here's the main thing we have to learn. We tell the truth of God's word. We don't have to win. It's not our place. God's word says we're made in his image. We share the word. Romans chapter 1 says those things. We share the word And if God's Holy Spirit is working in someone, when we tell the truth of God's word, God takes that word and does something in that person's heart. We don't decide that. We just tell the truth. We don't have to win. We hope that the Holy Spirit convicts them and they turn to Christ and commit their life. But we don't go out there with it. Well, you know, I'm going to win this one. You just lost. We just tell the truth, no matter what. And God takes care of the rest of it. How many times do we wimp out every day? All day. How about schoolers? I went to school with a bunch of lost people. I knew enough about Jesus that I wasn't going to do some of the stuff. I'd never been to church in my life, but I knew just enough about what he had done in my life as a 9-year-old boy that those things were wrong. So when someone says, I don't know that, that's a lie. You're born with some things you know. That's what Romans says. So when they would do these things, and I said, I'm not going to do that, they laugh and make fun of me even then. I said, okay, I ain't going to do that. Is that hard? Oh, yeah, but nobody wants anybody to make fun of them or laugh at them, so we're wimps. We don't stand up for what's right. We don't do the right thing. Peter and John, hanging on your beak. You can do whatever you want to do. We're going to do what Jesus said. Our job is to tell the truth, period, while we're living it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're patient with us. Most of us live wimpy lives. We just go along to get along. If we even know the truth of your word, we never share it because we're afraid of someone. Lord, convict us. Help us not to be arrogant. Help us be loving. But help us know your word by studying it. And help us just speak it as truth. And just depend on you to use your word to translate someone's life. Thank you for being willing to use us to bring people to yourself simply by just sharing the word. In Jesus' name, amen.